Welcome to another episode of Female Not Yet Expired. It's been a while because I've been trying to figure out what I want to talk about and where I want to go with this. And, I had a hard time with how we pulled out in Afghanistan. And I had done a podcast on that, and I guess it never saved or never published. Then I tried doing it again, and for some reason, it didn't save. It disappeared after I stopped recording. So I guess it wasn't meant to be released. I feel like that's probably what happened there. It just wasn't meant to be released. I had a hard time for, especially, the sorrow I have for the women. There's the women who were in offices, in political offices. I mean, one of them that was from her town, the mayor of her town, she was captured and she's probably dead or tortured or raped by now. We don't know. I couldn't find any updates on her. And she literally fought till the end, till they captured her. So I had a hard time with that. Nobody knows what's happening to her, what happened, or is she dead? But I assume she's most likely dead, or I hope she's dead, versus her being tortured and raped. I had a hard time with that. And, I was in the military, but I never saw action. My sister, though, was in the military, and she joined closer to that time. I think she joined 2002, literally right after she graduated, she joined the military, and she and I were both held back, so she was 19, so she graduated a year after, late, just like I did, and she was active duty, but I know somebody who deployed there, or vice versa. It's a community, and you see what war and all this has an effect on the people who were deployed, who were soldiers. One of my friends, he was a great guy. He deployed, and then less than 2 years later, he committed suicide, and he killed himself in front of his girlfriend, which I feel like selfish, but then I understand mental health issues. So, because he was the nicest guy, and I will just say that. So, I don't know what happened, but he was definitely in a really dark path, and she seems to really still love him. She always post even years later. So I don't think it was directed towards her, but I guess he just got the gun in front of her and just killed himself. And I wish she would have not done that, because I can't imagine her life that she has that in her mind forever. I can't imagine seeing somebody kill themselves. And I guess she does put beautiful posts and stuff like that, so I think she understood, or it wasn't violence towards her in a way, if that makes sense, or she's made peace with it, but she still puts lovely fond memories. So, but she does know that he did suffer from a really deep, dark depression at the end of his life. And I knew, it was crazy, I had seen angry post he was putting online, and I was like, oh, that's strange, he's such a happy guy. And the last one was really like, no one gives a fuck about me, the blah blah blah, something around those words. And I was like, you know what, I'm gonna reach out to him, make sure she's okay. And it was like a Friday, and I was like, I'll hit him up on Monday. I was too late by Monday. Before I even knew it, he had already committed suicide. So yeah, I always think about that. Like, could I have prevented it? I don't know. I can't turn the time, but unfortunately, he's gone, and, it left his mother devastated. And to this day, she puts lovely stuff online, but you can see her pain. I just feel like for a parent, it's very hard when their kid commits suicide. I just can't imagine. So, my talk today, recapping that, I'm still in Texas, trying to get out of here. I'm hoping in the next 2-3 weeks, I'm bringing my 2 senior dogs, and I hope the landlord lets me take them, because we're not in the best terms, for personal other reasons. Just people you live with, don't ever try to offer them work or help them out, because if at some point you have to be an employer and you have to be more cutthroat, it just turns things dirty and then makes it a hostile living environment. That's what I'll say about that. So she did originally give me the dogs a couple months ago, so I hope she, when it's time to take them, she doesn't she doesn't say, no, you can't take them. I would be devastated, but I would be more devastated for them, because when I got here, they were so neglected. They were in such poor conditions. Batman is blind, and when I got him, his skin was looked like mange, but not the contagious one. It was more like his autoimmune system mange, and he was always scratching. He was miserable, and now with regular care and upkeep, and he sleeps inside. He literally sleeps on the bed with me. That's how much I've been able to fix his skin, clear it up in the past couple months. And we have little itchy moments here and there, but we definitely have him on a strict routine. And there's Chiquita, and she's a Chihuahua and extremely overweight. Can barely walk a little, and she's dying of breath. She's coughing like it's like her last breath. And I've had her on a diet now for a couple months, and she lost some weight, not that much weight as I had expected. And she still has a hard time breathing. And now that I look for a dog her age, she's assumed to be around 12 to 14 years old. I know dogs her age and who have cancerous growth or tumors. And I'm thinking that now that I looked at her and she doesn't have that, so by the way, if you want to know an older dog, if they have been tattooed, or any dog, that you, obviously for a male, it's a lot easier, but for a female as well, they do tattoo every dog with like a little green ink. And you can see, and that's basically that, you know that they've been fixed. And I have not found that on her. And then little dogs on the street, when I first saw her, would come and hump her and just stick on her. And she couldn't move because she had always had a dog on top of her. It was sad. Not necessarily Batman. He is fixed. And so I'm thinking it's a tumor for sure at this point, because she's not losing weight. The growth is still there. And yeah, she has a hard time breathing. And I definitely think it's a, she was never fixed. They are not chipped. They don't have shots. They don't have any medical records, So they were really neglected animals. And I remember one time she tried to feed them bread. And it was, she's like, oh, rats got into the house and they ate the bread. And she was feeding them the bread that the rats had bitten into. And I was sitting there like cringing, like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe you're giving your dogs this. Or she would give them chicken or food that was full of flies and just leave it out there for hours. And it was like, it's food that after a couple hours will go bad. And versus dry food will tends to last longer. And that's what they were eating. That's what she was feeding them. And I changed their diet. And they are doing a lot better. But I know Batman's around 10 to 12 is what they're saying. It's what she estimates. She doesn't know. And she didn't even know he was blind. She's like, oh my gosh, he's blind in both eyes, the other day. I'm like, yes. Oh, I always thought he was blind in one. And I'm thinking, like, how neglected are these dogs? And you can even realize your dog was blind. Like, I don't understand. But that's the life they've had. Last year, she was showing me where they stayed. When there's where everything in Texas froze for like 2 weeks. She didn't have them anywhere indoor, nor in a garage. She had them outside, exposed to the weather, in a little cage where she put just a trash bag. And she's like, yeah, they were there. They didn't really move there because it was really cold and frozen. I'm thinking, like, these two short-haired dogs, Chiquita barely has any hair. You left them in this cold, freezing, in a box outside with just a plastic bag. Like, I just can't. I don't know how to, it's neglect, it's abuse. Or when things used to be under thunder and rain, they would hide underneath like old furniture that's out front, literally like street dogs. Well, I've changed their lives. I mean, they sleep with me, they're pampered, they're loved, they got their treats, their snack time. And my little blind one, he's starting to go a little more senile. I mean, he's a little more disoriented as we go. So I know that we're heading towards a path where, maybe a year or two, I hope more. But, he's old. He doesn't have teeth anymore. Or the teeth that he does have are rotten. And I imagine that must be painful. So hopefully in the next couple months, when I move back to California, I'll have all his teeth removed. So at least he doesn't have that rotten pain. At least he'll just have his gums. But I feed him soft food anyway because of that. And actually, you can have your dog or cat's teeth removed and they can still eat dry food, just less. And, they kind of swallow it. They munch on it and swallow it. And But I do feed him senior soft food at this point, so. But I just can't imagine, like, how they're both in such really poor conditions. And now they're healthy. I've gotten them back to good health. And they gave them, she gave them to me, but she's currently mad at me when I move out in the next couple of weeks. I hope that I'm allowed to take them. And so, you know, but that was one of my fears. Because if I leave, okay, I can leave. It makes my life easier. I'll be able to drive easier to California. Hotel, no problem. Because I don't have animals with me. Two senior dogs. You know. But it's a disadvantage to them. Because they're used to me now. They're so happy. They don't even go to her anymore. Or her daughter. They ignore them. They literally, I am their world now. And they've known them all their lives. But we can be outside and dogs will see her and me. And I'm just standing there and they'll run to me. I'm their owner now. They've gravitated towards me and they love me because I've given them the care they need. You know, also the daughter was mentioning before I moved here, oh yeah, his skin used to be full of blood. He was always bloody Batman, the one that has skin issues. So we thought he was just going to die, but I guess, you know, you saved him. He's living longer now. He's healthier. And I'm thinking, like, how could you see that your dog's bloody and scratching and in pain? Because I remember in the beginning, he would just cry and cry because he was so uncomfortable of how itchy he was. And in the beginning, I would help give him some Benadryl, put medicine, it was a really a lot of trial and error, anti-fungal, anti-this. It was really trial and error, and he would just cry and cry because he was so uncomfortable, he was so itchy, and I had to put him in a situation where he couldn't scratch and re-cut himself because his saliva is super dirty because his mouth is all rotten, so he'd be itchy and he'd, you know, scratch himself to the point where bacteria would go in and it would make it even worse. And I imagine that's why he was bloody. So I had to cut all that, Benadryl him some nights, you know, and not let him scratch himself because he was so miserable. He's a happier pup. Right now he's bathing himself. But he's not, I mean, I remember the crying. It was so sad. So, okay, so let me go back to that. So how can you see your dog bloody, itchy? You can tell he's just miserable and just be like, okay, he's going to die anyway. How can you not be like, okay, let me euthanize him, please? He's blind. He's full of blood. He's miserable. I guess things happen for reasons. It's good that he's not euthanized. And same with Miss Chiquita here. But I have the proper patience, and I'm aware of dogs, and I love my dogs, that I know how to give them the proper care they need. All right, I may not have much, but my dogs, they have their food. They have their treatment. I figure it out. They're, you know, if I have to physically take care of their skin or whatever, I have the time, or I make the time for that. But if I leave and she's going to put them back to the neglected life they had before, I just really want to be like, okay, if I can't have them, even though they're not chipped, there's no paperwork, I would like to, at least have them euthanized. And it sounds horrible, but compared to where they were, it's hard for dogs to separate from the person they care for, but then to go back to the life they had, I mean, in the streets all full of fleas, dirty. Literally, they would just lay there in the middle of the street like, well, if we get hit by a car, we get hit by a car. And I've seen a lot of dogs here in Texas. And I think I've talked about this before, but it was my worry. And I talked to my mother, and she's like, well, she doesn't let you take them. There's nothing you can do. So right now they're mine. I was thinking I've been waiting to cure up his skin, and I'm going to go get them their shots, to finally take them to a vet. Just alone me and all the efforts I've made, they're in better conditions than they were before. And now I'm going to take them to the vet because I want the vet to check on them before I take them on a really long drive, which I'm really nervous for my blind one, because it is very scary for him, especially, not only is he blind, he doesn't know where he's going. I've been trying to get him used to it with car rides, but he's so disoriented after. It takes him a while to be like, okay, here I am. Versus now, once I take him in a 3-day journey, he's going to be disoriented and he's not coming back to what he knows. So I'm a little worried about that. So, but again, anyway, so there I go talking about my dogs and moving. Hoping that everything is right and getting my car ride ready for the car ride. But anyway, so don't have dogs again if you're going to really neglect them. I think I've said this, but please, if you can't have a dog, don't have a dog. They're cute, yes, but they're work. And for people who want to adopt and want dogs that don't destroy, that just sleep all day, and they're chill, go for an older dog. Yeah, you're worried, they're going to have problems. Everyone's going to have health problems, but older dogs, yes, you might have less time with them, but they're so much easier than puppies. For sure, puppies. I think of my Yoda, and my gosh, he was so attached to me at 3 months. He's attached to me to the hips. Like, the first couple months, I would even take him to work, you know, and he had his little playmate. Like, he was my child. He was so needy, which, I mean, there's great moments. Yoda would go on the play with me. I mean, Subway, everywhere, you know, everywhere we'd go together. But he was very needy and destructive as a puppy, but like all puppies are. But he's the smartest little guy, man. He's so smart. Now, you know, in my mom's farm, he's the alpha to a pit bull and my other dog, Monty, my rescue from Egypt. So now I'm bringing these two into the mix, which I'm super excited. I haven't seen my dogs since the end of February. They're well taken care of, by the way. If you're like, well, how about your other dogs? I couldn't just bring them with me because my mom has over an acre of land for them to run, play. The weather in California is not humid. It's very comfortable. So it's not like being in Texas or any other place where it's like flea heaven. There, it's not the same. My mom has them in great condition. My mom even has a sheep, and then a miniature horse comes in next week. So my dogs just have the best time. And they live in a town that's made for animals. Literally every morning you see horses walking around, people walking their horses. And we're only like an hour away from LA. So I couldn't take that from them and bring them to maybe a place where they have to be indoors all of a sudden. Though they were used to being indoors in New York, once they're free. And then my mom actually has these super fancy dog houses for them. One's like a little two-story dog house that has its own porch. Like, I wish I could live in there. Like, so they're really happy. And so, but it was tough because Yoda and I are so close. And I hope when I go back, he remembers me. Of course, he'll remember me. But I hope he doesn't get jealous with my seniors. So that's another thing of transitioning. When you get dogs, especially seniors, and you're going to bring them into a new environment. Ugh. I'm looking for those tents. They're like tent beds. They're cots in a tent. I think I'm going to get one of those for the first week at least, so I can sleep with my seniors until they're fully accepted into the pack. Because my dog Yoda's a dick. I love him, but towards males, he's a dick. So I definitely need to see how he's going to respond to Batman. But Batman's old. Just like, he's just there. So hopefully Yoda's like, oh, okay, well, there's no threat here. And Chiquita, I'm pretty sure he's going to like her, but I don't want him to be a dick and just snap at him, especially because one's blind and one can barely run. And also my pit bull, I don't want him to be super excited with my little Chiquita because she's not fixed. I definitely need to find out if she's even eligible to be fixed at this point. She will not reproduce, it's not like that. She hasn't been pregnant in decades. But I don't want him to try to hump her. And I don't even, you know, she doesn't even go through heat anymore. So, but still, you know, so I want to be out there for that transition, which is scary. So yeah, I decided to go back to my mom's. I have my own room. It's simple. I'm about to finish my semester. Again, I'm alone. I don't have kids. I don't have a boyfriend. It's just easier. And I get to be with my dogs, which is what I miss. And, you know, and I mean, I have 5 dogs now. That's a lot of dogs. But, you know, there's no way I couldn't take these two in. I gotta get out of Texas because there's a lot of animals who are just wandering the streets and you're like, where's your owner? Like, oh my gosh. Or in very poor conditions, anorexic. I saw people that was like bones. And somebody was fostered. I got somebody to foster him, which I hope he's doing well. But, you know, I don't know. Animals are the best. So, well, yeah, I know you're like, you've been going off on your animals for a very long time. I know, for 19 minutes. Sorry about that. This might be controversial. My 5 listeners. But I am so stunned with the racism here in Texas. There's so much racism that's flat out in your face. And I'm beyond shocked. And people are like, well, what do you mean? Yeah, there's those Karens. No. There's so much racism from the... how can I say this? So, people who come from Mexico to Texas tend to be from northern Mexico. Monterrey is a place around that area. They immigrate. A lot of the women here, they're beautiful. They are beautiful women. Their goal is kind of, not everybody, but to find a husband or to find a white military man and marry them. Marry somebody for papers. It's very common. And I work for the convention center. I'm not going to say which one because I don't want to get in trouble. And so I work as a server. It's fun. It's no responsibility. It's fantastic. And it's nice to be around a lot of Latino people because it has that family feel.
The majority is immigrants from those regions.
You have a couple first generation and their mind of thinking is already super different, or a couple white, a couple black. That's fine. But the people from northern Mexico who are coming here, man, the racism. I can't believe it. Like, I was, for example, I'll use this. They're not racist towards white people. And they're not necessarily openly racist about other Latinos. But they are super, super racist towards black people. Like, super racist. And it's not that I've heard it once. I've heard it so many times now in this environment with at least a group of 100 people that it's really, like, shocked me. Like, made me uncomfortable to the fact that I will give you an example. There's a lot of gay men from Mexico who come in the convention center. Nothing wrong with being gay. But I was with them. I was looking at my Instagram, and my friend, who is gorgeous, and he took modeling pictures, and I was looking at his modeling pictures through on my Instagram. And one of the guys is like, "Oh, what is that?" And I'm like, "Oh, my best friend. He's like super attractive. He's like, oh, disgusting. He's black." He didn't even look at the picture. The fact that he saw my friend's skin, he's like black. Another guy was like, "Oh, that's disgusting." Like, no big deal. And this is said in Spanish, by the way. And you're like, "Yeah, I would never date a black guy. That's so gross." And I'm sitting there like, what? But this guy is like a million times, I'm thinking in my mind, this guy's a million times more attractive than you, and you. Like, because he's black, you won't even, what? And okay, all right, well, I let that go, but I didn't say anything. I was like, okay, each to their own, I guess. Though those responses that are flat out in your face, it's like I'm going, and I'm talking in front of a bunch of people in the open, and my response is like, ugh, black people are disgusting. Gross. I can't believe it. I just can't imagine. I mean, I would be a Karen. And to hear it flat out, I was sitting there like, oh my gosh, I'm so shocked. And I've heard it from other people. Like, if there's a comment and I mention, oh, that person is attractive, and let's say they're black. I find every race has beautiful people. Ugh, no, I don't like blackies. No me gustan los negritos. What? Okay, how are you... Okay, you don't like somebody, but that doesn't mean you don't have to say they're attractive, but you're just such a really harsh way of saying it, just out in the open. So I've been, I couldn't believe it, and there's so many people that really, they'll make side comments about that, and you're just in the like, okay, what? And last night, I finally hit my peak, where I was just like, enough. I can't believe this. And I have to share it. I was like, this is probably why I was inspired to do this podcast, because I was just like, oh, why is this not talked about more? For example, last night, there's a type of genre that is, first of all, let me say this. Latin America has a lot of black people. So, you can't just say a person's black and they can't be Latinos. There is a lot of black Latinos. A lot of them. Dominican Republic, Panama, Honduras, Puerto Rico, just to name a few, right? So I'm going to throw that in there first. We should know that, right? Dominican Republic, there's a genre of music called bachata. It's become now worldwide popular. I wouldn't say in places like Honduras and Mexico that much, but it is pretty, it's getting pretty, very mainstream. I learned about it in when I lived in New York. So that's where I was able to hear it first, and I was very like, oh wow, this is great. But technically I had already known about it, because in 2004 when I was in Italy, all the clubs kept playing this band Aventura song, and it was like, no es amor, it's not love. And every club in Italy would play, and all Italians are dancing to it, Americans are dancing to it. It was all over Europe. Anyway, I would go to Rome here and there. Club, every club had it. And so that's how I got into Aventura, and I think they were a great band. And the lead singer became a solo artist, and his name is Romeo Santos. He's amazing. I love him. He's gorgeous. And so it was, we're a group of friends. We're having drinks last night, and we were all playing songs. So it was my turn. I played a Romeo Santos song, and the girls were like, oh, you like bachata? I'm like, yeah, that's great. I love him. He's my husband. He's so hot. And hold on. Oh, okay. And so when it went to, sorry, I was a little pause. And so we were all going to the conversation, and it was like, do you like this genre of music? I'm like, yeah, no, he's great. And one of the girls is like, ugh, gross, he's black. Black people look like monkeys. Monkeys, yeah. Nah. She's like, I'm sorry, but I'm racist. I don't like black people. And I'm sitting here like, what? You might not like a group of people, but you don't just say it like that. And yeah, you think you're among a group of friends. I get it. But you don't know who you're around and how it might offend people. And I'm like, no, it doesn't. He's beautiful. Like, she's like, well, it's easy for you to say that because you're light skin, and you look white, and you speak like a white girl. Una gringa. Hablas como una gringa. And I'm like, what does that even mean? Like, my parents are both from Honduras. And she's like, both of them are from Honduras? Yes, 100%. But you're so light skin. Okay, yeah, well, I mean, and? I mean, yes, there's not a lot of white Hondurans, white looking, but obviously there's Spanish blood, Indian blood, it doesn't matter. At least half of the population in Honduras is black, or mixed black, or you name it. You think of Left Eye from TLC, her father was from Honduras. But then you also think America Ferrera, Honduras. And she's more like, she looks more native, more of the native Spaniard in there. But you see what I mean? You don't, you know, it's not what you think. Like, so for me, half my cousins are black, at least half. So it's super offensive. And I did make it known that my parents are from Honduras. Then I don't understand. I'm light skinned. I'm like, okay. And she was like, yeah. But I like white guys and Latino men. Okay. But what do you think that means? Like, you know, when you date somebody, you're with somebody, sometimes differences in culture are hard to be married to. And nobody's really superior to anybody else. It's different. And yeah, the other girl's like, yeah, well, yeah, well, the other girl was nicer about it. Yeah, just, I'm not into darker skin. And I'm sitting there like, okay, this is, all right, I understand that. And her way of speaking, all right, I can get it. Versus this one called a Dominican, a Latino black person, who's actually golden color, by the way, beautiful skin color. She called him a monkey. And like that. Oh my god. And I'm sitting there like, okay. And she's like, even though I'm a darky, doesn't mean I like dark people. She's a medium tan color. A medium tan. It's ridiculous. And this is a girl. And all of these girls do it. They refuse to go out in the sun. Not for anti-aging reasons. But they don't want to be in the sun because they don't want to become darker. They don't want their skin to get darkened. Even though your skin is, it is what it is. Yes, you can have a tan, but you know what? That tan goes away, but okay, it's not. All right. Whatever you say, if that makes you happy. But they'll stay away because they don't want to be dark. They don't want anything associated with dark, because light, white skin is what's up. And it's it's ridiculous. Like, she was talking about how she wants to hook up with one of the supervisors at the convention center, and he's a 50-year-old man with a gut. He's very flirtatious, and he's got that power role. And I guess supposedly she's, and he's married. But a lot of the girls will just look at him like he's God's gift to the earth. And I'm like, well, I'm like, what do you like about him? I mean, yes, I guess he's flirtatious, but it's very awkward if you realize that he hits on very young women in their 20s, and he's married. It's just, it can be a little uncomfortable. She's like, well, no, I like him. It's his butt. Okay, well, if we're talking about butts, this other kid right here, I guess, has a butt. If we're talking about physical body parts. She's like, ugh, no, he's Dominican. He's gross. What? I'm like, no, but atomically, if you're looking at, I can't even say the word, this kid's derriere would be in a better position than this 50-year-old man. But no. Anybody who has any pigment, disgusting. I was super offended. So I was thinking, like, okay, I can't. And she was being a little smart-ass. She's like, I was like, but you know, they're loved worldwide. And I mean, in Italy that summer, I was everywhere. And she's like, well, that song. And I played the song. She's like, oh, they didn't make that song. Somebody else did. I've heard it a million times. It was somebody else. They just probably covered it. This is how she said it. She's like, they didn't sing it. And they just sang it. But it's not their song. Oh, the song's so annoying, actually. I've heard it so many times. I'm an ass. So literally, I opened up Google. I'm like, well, this song came out in 2001. And I see that somebody remade it in 2004. And in 2010 and 2013. But no, it's their song. How old were you in 2001? Four? Yeah, okay, so you don't remember. I was 18. And then she just looked at me like I was an ass. I'm like, but look, I can show you. Look, you want to see online? I have the proof. No, they made the song. So you just probably don't remember. And you've heard the other versions. And that's why you think. Because this band was big in 2001, 2002. And so I had to throw that in, like, because she was such a little smartass. Little jerk. And I wouldn't, I know it's so petty, I mean, me being petty, but like, you're not gonna debate me on this, and you're not gonna be a jerk about it because you don't like a music, not because I don't like a talent. It's just she knew all the words, by the way, but because, you know, they're a Dominican band and she has a superiority complex, which is insane. And again, I guess they must not realize that I'm from Honduras. That is a comment that's gonna affect me. My cousin, I'm not gonna say her name, she is black. I would say Beyonce toned black, right? She's beautiful. But because she's black, I've also heard it from the guys, by the way, straight guys. They would never date her because she's too dark. And that's I can't believe it. I just can't. And I don't think they were. And I tell you, it's funny because when you travel over the world and stuff, different countries, like, oh my gosh, they love different pigments, different colors, different races. You'd be shocked. It's not just about being pale, but, and I was like, and you know what's funny is with your medium tan skin, all right, you're going to have kids, right? Even if you marry somebody that's blonde hair, blue eyes, very low chances that your kids are going to look just white because she has some native features, and I think she's gorgeous. I think she's beautiful. I love her skin, but she, she's got some distinct features. I guess again, every race culture has their beauty. All right, I'm like, you're even if you marry white, blonde hair, blue eyes, you're not gonna produce a white kid. I mean, you might, but most likely you're not. Your kid's gonna be Mexican. Your kid's gonna be treated like he's Mexican. God forbid they're not attractive. And I'm sorry to say it that way. They're going to be probably around more minorities. So if it's not your grandkids, or if your kids don't marry your grandkids or your great grandkids, I guarantee you there will be some mix in there. Some mix in there. You're not going to have white kids. And she looked at me like I was a baby. Like I was the biggest bitch in the world. And no, but. You already tell first generation that's born here that we don't have necessarily that mentality. Second generation, even less. I mean, look at Meghan Markle, is gorgeous. Prince Harry married her. Not too dark for him, even though she's lighter. You know what I mean? Like, so, as generations move forward, we're just mixing up. Kylie Jenner, her baby, all those, the Kardashian babies, they're mixed. They're beautiful. There's nothing wrong with being mixed. There's nothing wrong with being white. But it is wrong when you just express your racism like that. And maybe you have your own complex because you think your medium tan's getting disgusting. But it's not. It's sad that you know. But, and it's a culture thing, I guess. I understand. Because I understand my cousin. I have a lot of cousins in Honduras who are racist towards other cousins for the color of their skin. I've seen it. And I've seen, you know, the treatment of it. Every time my sister and I would go to Honduras, oh, everyone thought we were so beautiful. My sister too. My sister was fat. She's not fat now. She's beautiful. But she was fat. But guys, everyone gravitated to her because she was porcelain, light skin. That's the only reason. And we're American. But my sister's cute. But back then she was fat. Now my sister's hottie. You know what I mean? But because of that, we were hotties. I mean, I could literally go to Honduras, find a guy. Okay, that's a guy I'm going to hook up with and get him if I wanted to. Back then, I don't know now I'm too old now, but in my 20s or 18 or teens, late teens, because of our complexion. And then my cousins there too, one of them refuses to go in the sun. Well, now I understand for activities, but because she just white pure porcelain skin, that's what's beautiful. Oh my god, we got to get over this, guys. You know, we got to get over the skin situation. Come on, like, it's fucking skin. Doesn't mean you're gonna be more beautiful or less beautiful because of the color of your skin. I mean, at this time, when people ask, what's your type? I don't really have a type. It's more the chemistry of the person at this point. Like, I don't do that. I guess I will say it's because I traveled, and it's because I've met all different cultures and lived around all different cultures. That's helped me a lot, you know? And so, yeah, I mean, and also so I grew up in California. There's a lot of Mexican people in California. It's going to be more of a different region. And then when I lived in New York, a lot of the region there was the EFE in Puebla. So there's different regions there, and then there's different regions in California. Yeah, obviously they immigrate there, right? And California, my godparents are Mexican. I grew up next, my neighbors were Mexican who became my godparents. Literally, my mom was never home, so we literally have dinner there every day. I would just walk in and say, hey, I'd watch TRL and eat there. Like, I feel like I ate there more than I ate my own house. And never did I hear a comment like that. I knew that my godfather wasn't too keen on black, but never did I ever hear him say a derogative term, even when they were drunk, because they would have barbecues and they would drink and this and that. I've seen him drunk, I've seen him sober, never did I hear a term like that or those words ever coming out of his mouth. And his older daughter ended up dating a black guy, so I'm glad that I never heard that. And then I was around, you know, my mom doesn't speak English, so my mom was, you know, I was around Mexican culture, and never did I hear comments like that. And then when I lived in New York, again, I didn't hear comments like that. And even my the guy that I was, that my friend, he's Dominican black. He's, oh my god, he's so gorgeous. He never picked me, or when we tried to date, I guess it was too much. But we're friends. He's a good guy. I mean, if it's not gonna happen, it's not gonna happen. He's now engaged to a Honduran, which is funny. And they're happy. It is what it is. But I'm happy for him. We get along. Well, his girlfriend that he had a child with years ago is Mexican. And everyone accepts him. No problem. There's not a big issue. Because Dominican, Puerto Rican, Mexican, it's all just everyone hangs. Now, let's say it's not your preference or whatever of black or not. But I've never heard anybody speak the way that I've heard people speak here so freely there. Ever. And if I've ever heard a little comment here and there, but not so openly, so for no good reason, and then less than 3 months. You know what I mean? It's like, it's insane. It's so sad. So I feel like I want to be like, okay. And by the way, also, this girl, she's married. She married a guy for papers. They've been married. She has her 1 year visa, so it expires in 8 months. And she's hoping, she and the guy are not together. And she's hoping, oh, this country will allow her to stay. And I'm thinking, like, okay, well, you know what? Honestly, the black people that live here, that are Americans here, that live here, they have more rights than you do. This is their country. They're American citizens. So if you're going to come to this country, you better leave your racism there. Don't come here and already have a complex that you think you're better than them, and you're living, you're not a resident here. You're not a citizen here yet. You know, you had to do the something that's technically illegal to try to get a visa to stay here. Don't act superior. Be humble. And a lot of them in that group are illegals who have fake visa, fake working papers. And, you know, their idea is to find an American man or something like that to marry. Don't have a superiority complex. This is not your country. I'm sorry. Go back to Mexico. Yes, did we belong to Mexico at some point? We probably did. Yes, of course. But not now. And then we're talking over 200 years. So you know what? There's no direct ties to you here now. People who live here, if you're going to come to this country and going to hate on the black communities here just because they're black and you think you're better than them, stay in your country. I will say that there. I'm not anti-immigration. I'm all for it. If you're going to bring the best of your country, don't bring your racism here. Leave it there. If not, you stay there. If your place is so great and you're so superior, you stay there with your racism. See, we always reverse it, and we're always like, all Trump supporters say, go back to your country and this and that. We always reverse it that way, right? But no one ever says it when it's a minority that's super racist towards another minority. Why? It's not said. And it should be said, I feel like. And maybe whoever listens to this, and this is one of my podcasts that I recommend, if they can get through my first 19 minutes of my dog talking, to share the importance of people you come to the country, leave your racism behind, because it is a big issue. And I guess it's not, it's people don't pay attention to it here, because if you're like, let's say if you're white or American and you don't speak Spanish, you don't know that it's being said, but it's being said, and it's being said out in the clear. And now here in Texas, you have a lot of Dominicans and Puerto Ricans are moving here or live here. So you see somebody that's black and you're making these comments, you have no idea if they understand. So why leave your superiority complex behind? But it's not the same for Texans. I will say that. First generation, second Texans, no, they'll date other minorities I've seen. They're not the issue. It's the immigrants that are coming from that region of Mexico here that are coming with that racism. Leave it behind. You're welcome in this country, but leave your superiority behind. And then you know what? Even if you think, oh, I'm among other Latinos, I can say what I want. You don't know. You don't know if they have a cousin. You don't know. Like, you don't know. So leave I'm better than everyone behind. Oh yeah, you're pretty? That's nice. You're pretty now. But like in 10 years, that fades a lot faster. You know what I mean? You're not going to get away with your looks the rest of your life and that mentality that you're superior to everybody else. It's not going to happen. Oh no, well, except for white people, and they're superior, of course. White people are the best. Which, I'm not saying white people are bad. But she's like, oh yeah, the white people, they treat me well, the white people. I'm like, what are you, well yeah, you're a pretty girl, what are you talking about? I'm like, did you grow up in an area like that? She's like, well, no. I'm like, yeah, well, I grew up in Orange County, which I did. And I went to school in Fullerton, it was Yorba Linda, Brea area. Everybody in my school was white, Asian, some Latino, some. And I think I had one black girl. Well, she wasn't fully black. She was black and Japanese. That's it. So talking about all American OC white, if this is what you're thinking, I grew up with that. And there's some things that you guys that come from your era culturally are very different from what I grew up with, you know? So you don't idolize anybody unless you've experienced something. Like now, it really depends on, the person's personality, values, and what the family, how the family carries themselves. You know what I mean? It's not just because somebody's pale, it's going to be great. It's not like that. And that's what I love about Generation Z, is those color lines, those lines of color are really breaking. And I can't wait for the next generation, because it's just getting like these lines in America, especially, and I'll say in Europe as well, Europe and America, it's just these lines are getting weaker and weaker. Millennials, a lot of us still have that mentality. Unfortunately, we're becoming the old ones. Leave your shit behind, dude. Like, leave that behind. You're struggling. You're trying to make it by. And I understand that. But don't bring anybody else down like that. And if that's the case and you're all about that, then if somebody ever treats a Latino person bad, don't ever play the victim card, because you're worse. And that bothers me. we bring each other down like that. But it needs to be known. Like, I feel like people need to mention stuff like this. Is it, are we gonna have more immigrants come and just start hitting on the black people community just because they're black? Like, no, get out of here. Like, why? We're trying to get past that. And, but I will be fair again. Like I said, this is my experience here in Texas. It hasn't been my experience ever in California, ever in New York. So that's why I wonder, like, if anybody's in Texas, well, hopefully they don't listen to this, or maybe they do. Dude, if you ever hear anybody speak that way, I don't know what to do. I did tell my friend, my main friend there, and I told her, I was very uncomfortable with that conversation today. Private one-on-one. It's very racist. Oh, she's not racist. She just says she doesn't like, she's not into black men. No, her direct words were, I'm racist. I hate black people. She said something like that. Like, she literally said, no, I'm racist. And that's how she said it. There's no ifs or buts. She said it that way. Just because she sees my skin color, not realizing my family's from Honduras. You know what I mean? And her hope that she eventually maybe takes her to the side and be like, maybe you shouldn't express yourself like that. I mean, you're among friends, but come on. I mean, unless everybody in the friendship group is like, yeah, cool, racism is cool. Like, we gotta stop doing that. Because everyone in that group, no one was uncomfortable but me. That's not okay. People shouldn't be talking like that. I guess express your freedom, but man, it's at a cost. And then the conversation went to the point where she found this somebody of Asian descent good looking. A chinito. I'm like, well, was he Chinese? Well, they all look the same. Oh my god. No, they don't actually all look the same. And one of the girls like, yeah, well, Japanese people are ugly, right? I mean, do you know what a Japanese guy looks like? No, but I think they're ugly. Okay. No. You literally open your eyes. If you can't see it, like, you can't be that blind. If you don't know what a Chinese, Korean, this and that, Google it. We have the internet. Start Googling it and start getting what people's traits are and certain facial features. There's no reason I should look at every white person and be like, oh, white people look the same. Because when white people tell us all Latinos look the same, it is super offensive. No, none of us look the same. So look online if you really, before, or just don't even, like, I think I saw somebody of Asian descent. Like, and people are gonna be like, oh, you're a snowflake here. But no, I'm not trying to be a snowflake here. But, like, there's nothing worse, el chinito, the Chinese. Oh, you know what the Chinese eat. Well, what do the Chinese eat? Well, the Chinese. And I was like, well, no, explain that to me, because they don't look the same. I mean, you can just Google it. It'll come up. Everyone has distinct features, and you can kind of start with their style and what you can start kind of seeing where a person's from or an idea. But if you don't know, maybe el chinito isn't the best word. We're in 2021. Figure out another word. That's, come on, like, don't be stupid. If you're portraying yourself as a traveled, well person, a superior person, figure out how to speak better than, because that is so, she's like, they all look the same. Well, no, they don't all look the same. And so I'm pretty sure she probably found me annoying. I guarantee it. It was just like, and I know there's a lot of ignorance, because in this group, no one has ever had Thai. No one has ever had Vietnamese, Filipino. Nobody has ever had any of these cuisines. They know nothing about it. So it's sad. It's a little, and especially because here in Texas, you have all of it. And so you could try it, but people don't like to get out of their comfort zones, which, again, I think is a big mistake. I was like, when you see somebody Asian and you just automatically call them El Chinito, it is exactly how it is very annoying. I've seen a lot of my friends who are Filipino, Laos, you name it, who put, like, stop calling us Chinitos. We know what that means, and we're not Chinese. And it's become offensive. And it's like when you see Latinos and you're like, the Mexicans. Well, if I was offended by that, not because I dislike Mexicans, but I'm not Mexican. I don't speak Mexican. I speak Spanish, which that was wrong. Eventually, I learned it's el castellano. Right? But I was never Mexican. So when people used to call me that, I'd be like, well, no, can't you say Latinos? Because that now I can handle it. I like Latinos. I'll take Hispanics, you know. But back then, it was just the Mexicans, you know. So it I didn't like to be called Mexican when I wasn't, because I wasn't Mexican. I know a lot of people from Latin America don't want to be called what they're not. So we shouldn't call people of Asian descent chinitos. Like, come on, guys. Like, figure out a different word. Figure it out. You know, so yeah, so this girl and I, it's terrible, but you know, bringing everything to circle to my Latino gente, I'll say it in Spanish first, ya paren de ser racistas, si van a venir con su racismo, quédense en México, quédense en Latinoamérica, porque hay mucho también en mi gente hondureña que es super racista, quédense en esos países, porque no vengan a este país a tirar racismo y después, cuando hay gente que nos trata mal, vamos a ir gringos, lo que sea, ahí estamos las víctimas. Pero no es justo. Si nosotros sabemos cómo es sufrir por racismo, ¿por qué lo estamos haciendo a otras personas? Piénsenlo bien. And now I'll say it in English. Please don't come to this country with your racism. Just leave it behind. Doesn't mean you have to marry somebody of a different color. But don't... No, it's not okay talk. I'm sorry. Yeah, we're friends, but you don't know me that well. I barely know you. Don't bring that with you. Leave it behind. Or stay there. Stay in your country. And you can be racist there all you want. Just don't bring it here. You know? I really believe that. And, you know, but it... Because you know what? When it happens to us and when Latinos are treated terribly by racists, we are so hurt. We know what it's like to be discriminated for being a minority. Why are we doing it to another minority? Shouldn't we learn to accept each other? We're in America. I'm not saying, yeah, people are like, it's the country of racists. No, but that's what we try not to strive to be. You know what I mean? You're coming fresh to this country. Please, don't be racist. Just don't stay here. And you know what? And do yourself a favor. If you're here, explore. Learn about other cultures, because you're going to be among them. You know, I'm not saying all American blue steak and fries or whatever. You know what I mean? That's not what being American means. At this point, that's not what American means. We are a salad of culture. Like, we have so many communities. And here in Texas, there's a lot of, I've seen a lot of, you know, there's Vietnamese or this and that. Learn about those cultures. I saw there's some Greeks. Learn about the cultures that you have in your state. Or try the cuisines. That's how you learn. That's how you learn, and that's why I can look at an Asian person and be like, oh, I think that person's Korean. So I might be wrong sometimes, but my first word is, he must be Chinese. Because no, not everyone looks the same. And it's not, I'm not trying to be offended to the Chinese, that being Chinese is offensive. No, but when you're from another country and you keep getting that thrown, and in the way they say it, chinito is very offensive. It does sound very offensive, and it really is when you're stereotyping. You know what I mean? And that has to go. We really, it's 2021, guys. Let it go. And, but yeah, well, thank you for staying by and listening to my rant. I hope people listen to this. I think it is important, you know, because I had to say it and I feel a lot better for saying it. But, you know, let's make this place better. Don't have to want to date everybody. I don't want to date anybody. But I know that I respect everybody if they're worthy of my respect. Obviously, if they offend me and they try to be a horrible people, no. But, like, you know what I mean? In overall stereotypes and cultures, ignore stereotypes and just, you know, treat everybody how you would like to be treated. It's simple. Respect. Kindness. The end. All right. Well, until next time, everyone have a great night. Bye.